So there we the like it's the title of right after Absalom's death in 2 Samuel chapter 19 verses 1 to 43. To the souls on this online or through podcast or YouTube channel on earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, verse 7. Now therefore arise, go out and speak comfort to your servants. For I swear by the Lord, if you do not go out, not one will stay with you this night, and that will be worse for you than all the evil that has befallen you from your youth until now. How is Job the commander-in-chief's straight statement to King David, and how can we apply it to our lives? In verse 13, and say to Amos, are you not my bone and my flesh, God do so to me? And more also, if you are not commander of the army before me continually in place of Joab, what does it mean and what's the consequence? And what can we learn from here? Question 3, in verse 23, therefore the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king swore to him. How is David forgiven to Shimei in the scripture? And what can we learn from here? In the last time, 2 Samuel chapter 18, 33, then the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber of the gate and wept. And as he went, he said this, oh, my son Absalom. If only I had died in your place, O Absalom, my son. David was wailing, lamenting of the death of his son. David had a great cause to hate Absalom, and yet his love prevailed. Absalom was a rebel. He had rebelled against his father, yet David's love for him was dead. David was forgiven. Absalom is a type of us who have rebelled against God, against the authority of God, and against the words of God, and yet God loves us. David's love was so great for Absalom that David had wished that he could die in Absalom's stead. The thing that David desired but could not die in Absalom's stead, but God did do for us in that Jesus died in our stead in order to redeem us unto God. Such love, such deep love, which passes knowledge that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So we see that now David the king was in Mahanaim, in the right side of Jordan River, in the light of 2 Samuel chapter 17:27. Now it happened when David had come to Mahanaim, that Shobi, the son of Naasi from Rabbahar of the people of Ammon, Marki, the son of Amiel from Lodebar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite from Rogelim. In the opposite side, in the Gilgal and Jericho was located there. Verse 1, Joab was told, behold, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom. So the victory that day was turned into mourning for all people. For the people heard it said that day, the king is grieved for his son. David's intense grief over the death of his son Absalom overshadowed the people's recent military victory, turning our triumphs into a source of shame or discomfort. And the people stole back into the city that day as people who are ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried out with a loud voice, O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son. Then Joab came into the house of the king and said, "Today you have disgraced all your servants who today have saved your life, the lives of your sons and daughters, the lives of your wives, and the lives of your concubines. In that you love your enemies and hate your friends, for you have declared today that you regard neither princes nor servants. For today I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died today, then it would have pleased you well." Joab confronted David, directly stating that his excessive grief for Absalom suggested a preference for their own defeat, if it meant Absalom's victory, driven by David's guilt over his sin with Bathsheba and a desire for punishment. Recognize the remaining threat of rebellion despite the military victory. Joab's direct, though harsh, statement was a strategic necessity to restore troop morale and prevent David's downfall, thereby safeguarding the kingdom's stability. Cross reference right there. Verse 7, "Now therefore arise, go out and speak a comfort to your servant, for I swear by the Lord, if you do not go out, not one will stay with you this night, and that will be worse for you than all the evil that has befallen you from your youth until now." Question 1. Sometimes we have to speak up to the people in charge, even if it's a risk. Joab knew telling the king off could make David angry, but he saw what had to be done. Joab warned David that a bad thing would happen if he didn't praise his soldiers for winning. Joab's actions are a good example for us when we need to have a tough conversation with someone face to face. That is a good example. Now, verse 8. "Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told all the people, saying, 'There is the king sitting in the gate.' So all the people came before the king, for everyone of Israel had fled to his tent. David, sitting at the city gate of Mahanaim, showed he was over his sadness and back in charge. The city gate was an important place where people did business and settled dispute through judgment." Verse 9. "Now all the people were in a dispute throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, 'The king saved us from the hand of our enemies. He delivered us from the hand of the Philistines. And now he has fled from the land because of Absalom.' The 10 tribes of Israel followed Absalom, while the 2 tribes of Judah stayed loyal to David. Israel wondered he had saved us from the Philistines before, but he ran away from Absalom. Absalom the rebel was dead now. Can David still protect us?" Verse 10. "But Absalom, whom we anointed of us, has died in battle. Now therefore, why do you say nothing about bringing back the king?" Whose days earlier, most of Israel backed the rebel Absalom. Now they wanted David back as a king. This shows that crowds often change their mind easily, or crowds are often fickle. So we shouldn't just follow what most people. Instead, we should stick to God's moral rules found in the Bible. Doing this will keep us from being swayed by popular opinion. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, "Whatever you do heartily, edge to the Lord, not to man. It's always the Lord, you know, controlling factor 11. So King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, saying, speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring king back to his house, the Jerusalem palace? Since the words of over all Israel, the opponent group, have come to the king, to his very house, you are my brethren, you are my bone and my flesh. Why then are you the last to bring back the king? Verse 13, question 2. And say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? God do so to me and more also. If you are not commander of the army before me continually in place of Joab. Question 2. David's appointment of Amos as his military command was a shrewd political move. By elevating Amasa, who had led the Absalom rebel army, David aimed to secure the allegiance of his former adversaries. This decision also served to punish Joab for his past disobedience actions, particularly the king of Absalom, killing Absalom of Abana by stripping him of his command. Furthermore, Amasa's considerable influence over the leaders of Judah provided a crucial means to unify the fractured kingdom. These strategic maneuvers collectively aimed to consolidate David's power and bring stability back to the United Kingdom. Verse 14, so he swayed the heart of all the men of Judah, just as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word to the king, return, you and all your servant. A message reaches David, urging him to return. A situation similar to Jesus, the rightful king of the earth, who though rejected, left the kingdom. Before his departure, Jesus stated, you will not see the Son of Man again until you say, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord, implying that his return depends on the people earnestly praying for it. This prophecy suggests that during a future period of a great tribulation, the people of Israel will have their understanding opened, leading them to pray for their king's return. Verse 15, then the king returned and came to the Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to ask the king across the Jordan. Gilgal was the very first camp for the Israelites after Joshua led them into the new land. They set up camp there right after crossing the Jordan River, and from Gilgal they marched to attack the city of Jericho. Now the men of Judah came down to Gilgal, and David arrived at the Jordan River, so they were across the river from each other. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, who was from Bahurim, hurried and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. There were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him. And Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over the Jordan before the king. Then a ferry boat went across to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. Now Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. Then he said to the king, do not let my lord impute iniquity to me, or remember what wrong your servant did on the day that my lord the king left Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned, therefore here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph, to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And David said, what have I to do with you, your sons Zeruiah? that you should be adversary to me today. Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For do I not know that today I am king over Israel? Therefore the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king swore to him. Shimei admitted he was wrong for cursing David. When David ran from Absalom, he asked for David's forgiveness to save his own life. His plan worked for a time, but it was a day for celebrating, not for execution. However, David told the latter Solomon to have Shimei killed. This is sad, because on the day of joy, David held on to revenge. It shows how our forgiveness can be flawed. We might say, I forgive you, but I will never forget. That isn't true forgiveness. It's a tragedy that we often bring our past wrongs again. When a sin is covered by Jesus Christ, it is truly gone, washed away, and clean. 24. Now Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet king, and he had not cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day of the king's departure until the day he returned in peace. So it was when he had come to Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said to him, why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth is the son of Jonathan. And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for your servant said, I will saddle a donkey for myself, that I may ride on it and go to the king, because your servant is lame, and he has slandered your servant to my lord king. But my lord, the king, is like the angel of God. Therefore do what is good in your eyes, for all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who eat at your own table. Therefore what right have I still to cry out any more to king? So the king said to him, why do you speak any more over your matter? I ever said, you and Ziba divide the land. 30. Then Mephibosheth said to king, rather let him take it all, inasmuch as my lord the king has come back in peace to his own house. David couldn't tell if Mephibosheth or Ziba was telling the truth, and the Bible doesn't give us a clear answer. Mephibosheth explained, I am disabled. I couldn't have gone with you. Ziba lied about me to you. But you are so merciful, David, just do whatever you think is right. So, 31. And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Jerusalem and went across the Jordan with the king to escort him across the Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old, and he had provided the king with supplies while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very rich man. 33. And the king said to Barzillai, come across with me, and I will provide for you while you are with me in Jerusalem. Barzillai was a very rich man. He took care of Mephibosheth, and he also helped King David and his people when they were in Mahanaim. The Bible mentions him along with Shobi and Maki as someone who provided for David. But Barzillai said to king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be a further burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king, and why should the king repay me with such a reward? Please let your servant turn back again, that I may die in my own city near grave of my father and mother. But here is your servant Chimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king and do for him what seems good to you. And the king answered Chimham, shall cross over with me, and I will do for him what seems good to you. Now whatever you request of me, I will do for you. Then all the people went over Jordan, and when the king had crossed over, the king kissed Barzillai, blessed him, and he returned to his own place, Gilgal. Now the king went on to Gilgal, and Chamam went on with him, and all the people of Judah escorted the king, and also half the people of Israel. Just then all men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, "Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen you away from brought the king his house, and all David's men with him across the Jordan?" So all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, "Because the king is a close relative of ours, why then are you angry of this matter? Have we ever eaten at the king of expense, or has he given us any gift?" And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, "We have 10 shares in the king, therefore we also have more right to David than you. Why then do you despise us? Were we not the first to advise bringing back our king?" Yet the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. Even when David was a king in Israel, the 10 northern tribes and Judah, the southern tribe, Judah, Benjamin, went fully united. They become a bit more together under King Solomon. However, after Solomon's son became king, the split was complete. The problems that stated earlier kept going worse, leading to a full break between northern and southern kingdoms. This then caused the civil wars within Israel. We covered all the questions, continuing to keep on praying for a missionary. Let's just sing all together Maranatha song, so on brochure. So may God bless you, everyone. So even if online and all over the world.